We have an update on the face of the franchise, Cade Cunningham, on his decision to get surgery, how he's doing, and a little tidbit confirming some speculation that a lot of us had concerning his injury. We're going to talk about all of that in today's episode, Locked On Pistons podcast.
You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's the deal? Welcome back to another episode of the Locked On Pistons podcast. Per usual, I'm your host, Kuka Hill. You can find me over on Twitter at Kuka Hill. I want to thank you guys for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. And if you haven't already, head to the YouTube channel at Locked On Pistons, hit that subscribe button, or leave us a five-star review on whatever podcast platform you are listening to this on. That's another great way. And today's episode is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline has you covered this season more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline, where the game starts. So in today's episode, we're going to be talking about an update that we've gotten on Cade Cunningham from his own lips. He's telling us everything. We're going to talk about that. I also want to dive in. We're a little over halfway through the season, and I kind of just want to look back and reevaluate the contract of Marvin Bagley at this point in the season. How are we feeling about it? How we're feeling about Marvin Bagley. I want to talk about that. And then also later in the episode, we'll talk about Sadiq Bey, who's played a little better, actually a lot better over the last four games. And hopefully he can continue to play that way heading into the Paris game and going throughout the rest of the year. But first, we got to start off with this Cade Cunningham stuff. I really want to talk about that. Actually, I actually wanted to say this part real quick. I didn't want to make this a full topic. You know, it doesn't give you enough content to make this a full topic. But he may not play in the Paris game because he forgot his passport at home. I know some of you guys were saying you guys were worried about his injury. Was it worse than what we thought, et cetera, et cetera. We got an update today. He's a youngster. He's 18, 19 years old. He forgot his passport. He doesn't know where it's at. He's lost it. So that's why he's not in Paris right now. Don't know if he'll end up getting there, but that sounds like something I would do. And I'm 24 or 25 years old, so it is what it is. Something young people do. Anyways, let's go ahead and get into this Cade Cunningham news. So James Edwards III, who has had a lot of good articles as of late over at The Athletic, came out with another article today when I'm recording this, the 17th, and it's an update from Cade Cunningham. He spoke with Cade, and it's an update on his surgery, why he decided to get surgery, does he feel good about that decision, where he's at right now. A lot of stuff included in this article. I'm not going to read you guys the entire article. You guys definitely need to go check it out yourselves. If you don't already have a subscription with The Athletic, you guys definitely should. It provides a lot of content, a lot of insight. So read the whole article again. It tells you, you get a lot of stuff in here. Why he decided to get surgery. His thought proved the decision-making of getting surgery. Who he spoke to. Players who really made him convinced that surgery was the right move. Oh, there's a lot of stuff in here. It's not just base level stuff. So it was a really good read. Really good read. But there was just one part in here that really stuck out, which is why I want to talk about for the majority of this first segment. And it's the fact that, and I guess I should say before we dive into this, he is feeling well. He's not feeling any pain, he says. He feels really good. He's moving around. He's gotten stronger. He's in the weight room. Like, he feels good. So just want to say that real quick. But the part of this article that I really want to focus on is Cade Cunningham admitting. Actually, you know what? Let me just read it quote for quote. In the article, it says, quote, Cunningham admitted that he's been dealing with various amount of shin discomfort since high school. And it finally reached the point where something needed to be addressed or at least seriously considered, end quote. So if you guys remember a few weeks ago when we had our friend or my friend Sham Mohill on the podcast, who was in the medical field, he threw out there's a possibility based off everything that's been said and everything that had been talked about with his injury at that time. He said it's a very good chance that this could be something that Cade had been dealing with for quite a while. And I know I had a few of you guys reach out to me, send me screenshots, send me videos, pictures of you guys at Pistons games last year where you saw Cade with the ice wrap on his shin. And I know there was a lot of speculation throughout the Pistons community saying, is this something that he's been dealing with for a while? We think that he might have been dealing with this last year. How long has he been dealing with this, et cetera, et cetera. In this article, Cade Cunningham confirms that this is something he has been on and off in his shin. And again, he dives further into it. I don't want to spoil the article. I don't want, you know, it's behind a paywall. I don't want to be that kind of guy. But he dives further into it about why that was something that he decided to get the surgery and why he believes even better next year, et cetera, all that kind of stuff. The reason why I'll focus on that is that there was a lot of speculation on whether that was the case. And also, a lot of us talked about at the beginning of this year that his shot looked really flat and that he wasn't getting a lot of arc on his shot. We talked about how he didn't look as, you know, Cade isn't like, you know, John Morant explosive, but he's not a non-athlete, but he looked less explosive at times this year, quick at times this year. And there was a lot of speculation about, you know, is he hurt, whatever. So this makes a lot of sense to me that he had been dealing with this, obviously, throughout the beginning of this year. But even going back to last year, I mean, remember, this is a guy who was a really damn good three-point shooter in college. Really damn good three-point shooter, really good pull-up shooter. But if this is something he's been dealing with on and off since high school, it wouldn't shock me at all if this was something that had been, you know, bothering him during his rookie season, why he had such an up and down efficiency wise season for him last year and why his 3-point percentage was down last year. Again, you need your legs on your jump shot. Obviously, for those of you guys who played basketball, for those of you guys who just watched, you guys should all know you need your legs to shoot a basketball. That's where you get all your power from. So I'm really, really, really excited to see him healthy next year. Excited because this is going to be another season. He already sounds like he's in a really good spot. Mentally and physically, he feels really good. He's going to have another offseason to get better, another offseason to get in the gym, work on his game, improve on stuff, and another offseason to get into the weight room and get stronger. And next season, he's going to come back. Now that he actually got this addressed, this is why I'm really happy that he came to the conclusion that surgery was the right option and why he feels comfortable in that option. I'm really happy with that because now, this is not something that's going to keep coming up in the future. This is not something that's going to keep coming up on and off, on and off, on and off throughout his career. He's in the NBA. His career is as a basketball player. He doesn't have time to rest. He can't just rest every few weeks and just miss multiple games, come back, and then do it again in a few weeks. He can't professionally to play basketball. So if it meant sacking the rest of this year so he could feel how he feels right now, he says he feels really comfortable, and eventually at the end of the year when he's able to actually get back into the gym, next year, he's going to come back 100% healthy, and he won't have this discomfort in his shin. He won't have this discomfort. See, we should be seeing the very best version of Cade Cunningham at the beginning of next year. And I'll say this, man. He has some efficiency issues through his first 2 years, a little inefficient. There were some concerns about his outside shot because it hadn't translated thus far from where he wasn't in college. However, if you're telling me that the Pistons face the franchise through 12 games this year was averaging 26-6, if you tell me last year at the end of the season, the last half of the season, we saw dude stuff in his rookie season that we haven't seen since Michael Jordan, and we saw him doing all of that with a shin injury, while dealing with the shin injury, while dealing with the stress fracture in his shin, we were watching him do all of that while being, you know, injured. I'm incredibly interested to see what he's going to look like when he's not hurt, when he's not having to ice his shin every time he goes to the bench, when he's able to have complete explosiveness, all his quickness, and able to get up and elevate in all his jump shots. I can't wait. It's going to be scary next year. You're going to see the very best version of Cade Cunningham next year. He's going to get healthy. He feels great already. He's going to feel even better in the offseason. This was the right move. I'm glad he feels more comfortable with it. And again, I'm going to suggest for you guys to go read the whole article because it does go a lot more in-depth about why he made the decision, who he spoke to, where he's at right now. There's all kinds of stuff. So check it out. But that part right there is what I really wanted to highlight on. The fact that this is something he's been dealing with since high school, I know that's something you guys all speculated talking about. It's confirmed now. And we really haven't seen 100% healthy Cade Cunningham then because he's been constantly dealing with something. So third year Cade Cunningham, 100% healthy, the league better look out, especially if he has, you know, a top of the draft pick, someone to join him this offseason. People better look out. Cade Cunningham's going to set the league on fire next year. I can't wait. You guys guys think about all that in the comment section down below. Go check out the article for yourself from James Edwards III over at The Athletic. Let me know what your guys' thoughts are in the comment section down below or over on Twitter at Kuka Hill. When we come back, we're a little over halfway through the season, and I want to do a real early. Yes, it's very early because it's a contract that was 3 years long, but a real early reevaluation of the contract given to Marvin Bagley, and has he lived up to or fallen short of the contract that was given to him this past offseason. We're going to talk about that when we come back. But first, I got to tell you guys about one of our sponsors, Rocket Money. If your New Year's goals are to manage your budget better and save money, you need Rocket Money. Rocket Money, formerly known as Truebill, is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills all in one place. Over 80% of people who have subscriptions they forgot about, like that streaming service you bought to just watch that one show on, or that free trial that you never even used, or like me, the multiple different gym memberships that you have from just trying different gyms. Rocket Money will quickly and easily identify your subscriptions for you, so you can stop for the ones that you don't want. Rocket Money makes canceling subscriptions as easy as a click of a button. Simply find the subscription that you don't want and press cancel, and Rocket Money will cancel it for you. No more long hold times with customer service or tedious emailing back and forth. Over 3 million people have used Rocket Money, saving the average person up to $720 a year. So stop throwing your money away, cancel unwanted subscriptions, and manage your expenses the easy way by going to rocketmoney.com/lockedonNBA. That's rocketmoney.com/lockedonNBA. rocketmoney.com/lockedon to stop throwing your money away, cancel unwanted subscriptions, and manage your expenses the easy way. So I want to thank you guys again for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your platforms. If you haven't already, head to the YouTube channel at Locked On Pistons. At Locked On Pistons, yes. Got caught up there. Hit that subscribe button or leave us a 5-star review on whatever podcast platform you are listening to this on. That's another great way to support the podcast. So over the offseason, one of the Pistons' bigger moves I made was probably trading for Bojan Bogdanović outside the draft pick stuff. You can maybe say that trading Jeremy Grant was a big move. It was. Was re-signing Marvin Bagley. And at the time when he signed this contract, there was a lot of speculation about whether this contract was a good contract. Should the Pistons have given him this contract? Would he live up to this contract? Was it possible? Et cetera, et cetera. And the contract that was given to him was a 3-year, $37.5 million contract where he's going to be getting paid $12.5 million each year. No team option, no player option, fully guaranteed all the way until the 2025 offseason. So we're now January 17th. And to an early reevaluation of Marvin Bagley's contract or re-signing his contract and bringing him back to the team and how he's played. So the very first thing that we're going to bring up, the very first thing we're going to talk about here, he's only played 25 games this year. He's missed a lot of games. He's been on two different occasions. He's currently out now with a hand injury. He was going to be reevaluated in 6 weeks, which was said on January 5th. So we're about just about 2 weeks into that timeline. To start the year, you remember he had that nasty injury, lower body injury in the preseason. So he missed the first 13 games of the year, came back, and then left again at the 41-game mark. He's been out ever since. The reason why I bring that up is because one of the biggest concerns with Marvin Bagley when the Pistons gave him that contract was the fact this is a dude who's been in the league 2, 3, 4, 5 years, and right now has only played 191 games. The most games he's ever played in the season were 62 games. Second year, he played 13. Third year, he played 43. Fourth year, he played 48. And now this year, he's only played 25. That is the biggest concern with Marvin's contract. The biggest one. He's played 25 of the 47 games this year. And at no point in his career thus far has he proven that he can play long stretches of a season without getting hurt. So the fact that he's been hurt now, look, I'm not going to sit here and say, like, some of these things are just some, you know, it's out of your control. some guys are just more snake bitten than others. And it seems like Marvin Bagley is just one of those guys right now. It seems like he's more fragile than the average NBA player. I mean, I don't know what else to call it. I'm not trying to be disrespectful. I'm just calling it how you see it. This is a dude who hasn't played over 50 games, really over 48 games since his rookie year. So that right there already makes it a little bit of a concern, or not a little bit, I'm going to be frank, quite a bit of a concern for me with his contract already, is that in his first year with the contract, he already is dealing with multiple injuries again, and he may be on pace to not even play 40 games this year. So that's pretty big to me. That's pretty big to me, and that's going to be what makes this contract look really bad or decent. If he's able to, over the next 2 years, I guess, play, you know, close to 70 games, 70 plus games, then the contract will be all right. But if he continues to hover around 40 games played, it's going to be an issue. It's going to be an issue. So moving beyond just the games played and the injury concerns, let's move into how he was playing this season for the Pistons. Now, he started 13 of the 25 he had played in. In those 25 games, he was shooting 53% from the field, which was a career high. He was shooting 58%, basically 59%, all two-pointers, which is a career high. And if you go to his finishing numbers around the rim, from 0 to 3 feet, he was shooting 80% from 0 to 3 feet, which was a career high. He was shooting 57% from 10 to 16 feet, which is a career high. He was shooting 43.1% from 3 to 10 feet, which is second best of his career. And the highest percentage of his shots were all coming from two-point range, and he was starting to move out a little bit more from 3 to 10. 0 to 3 feet, 32% of his, where his shots were coming from, and then 36% of his shots were coming from 3 to 10 feet. I thought he was playing well offensively. I think Marvin Bagley, in the limited time that he's played, he was playing really well offensively. I think his finishing continues to be a big plus for him. He's a damn good finisher if you can get the ball to him around the rim. If you give him the ball around the rim, it's basically a bucket. He's going to score the basketball. Either that or he's going to be fouled. And that's incredibly valuable to have, especially as a lob threat, as a dump-off threat, a pick-and-roller, all that stuff. I thought he was doing really well in that department, which is something he was really good at last year when he came over from Sacramento with the Pistons. So I thought he continued to play well there. His outside shot, I don't think it was really coming along. He was shooting 27% this year from deep. Not good at all. He was only shooting 1.3 attempts from deep, but in those limited amounts, he just wasn't shooting very well. Even from corner threes, he was shooting 14%, which is really, really bad. So his outside shot wasn't coming along, but still, I think he was a threat around the rim still. A good lob threat, even though he wasn't getting as many lobs because Cade was out. So one could argue that if Cade was healthy and was playing, Bagley would look even better when he was on the court because he was doing this in these really good finishing numbers around the rim. He was doing that without receiving a lot of lobs because guys just didn't have that kind of chemistry with them. Cade has really good chemistry with them. We saw here. So one could say that if Cade was healthy, his numbers would look even better. And I honestly wouldn't push back against that. I think that there's a good chance that actually could have been the case. Yes. I thought he played fine offensively. Defensively, I thought he has continued to give worried about his ability to be at least average on that end. It was really up and down for Marvin Bagley this year in the limited games that he's played thus far. There were games where we came on the podcast and we talked about how physical he was being and how he was playing harder defensively and fighting really hard. And then there was multiple games after that when we would come on and we would talk about, yeah, his deficiencies on defensive end were showing. The Pistons, when they were starting Bagley and Stu, there were games when they were just getting obliterated on the glass. There were a few games where we came on, specifically a game against Minnesota on the 31st. There was another game against Phoenix on the 21st of December. There was a game against Dallas on the 1st of December where he recorded double-figure rebounds, and all of those games and the Pistons were in it in the rebounding battle. And we came on here, we gave him a lot of credit. But a lot of games in between there, you saw a lot of 5-rebound, 4-rebound, 6-rebound, 3-rebound games where the Pistons were just getting destroyed in the glass. So So far, reevaluating Marvin Bagley's early or reevaluating his contract this early, I would say it's a bit of a mixed bag, a little bit more negative than positive, I think, if we were being honest. And again, I think Marvin Bagley, I don't want to rule out that he can't get better, but I think he basically is who he is. And the only thing that really is going to make or break this contract, I think the Pistons knew who he was. I think they knew that he was going to be this, the type of player that struggled a little bit defensively, maybe wasn't the strongest on the glass, but a really good offensive player around the rim and lob threat. I think they were aware of that, but they were banking, hopefully, that he would be able to stay healthy. And that's going to be what makes or breaks this contract that he was given. So far this year, he's been injured. He's been really injured. And I don't think he's going to play 40 games for the Pistons this year, which is really tough. So early on, it's not looking good. He's going to have 2 years to hopefully play close to 70 games, hopefully over 70 games. But if he's going to continue to not be able to, it's not his fault, he can't control it. We're not blaming him. It just is what it is. If he's not going to be able to stay healthy, if he's not going to be able to play north of 70 games, along with some of the other things we talked about, this contract is going to be looked at in years to come as one of the a not very good contract and not a very good decision that Troy Weaver decided to make. So that's where I'm at early with Marvin Bagley's contract, reevaluating it a year or half a year into it. Let me know where you guys are at with it. Let me know if you guys have even thought about it. Have you guys thought about Marvin Bagley? Have you guys thought about his contract now that he's missing games and how he played when he was healthy? Is that something that's went through your guys' head going into this offseason, in the second half of this season? Let me know all that in the comment section down below or over on Twitter at Cookahill. When we come back, I want to talk about Sadiq Bey, who has had an up and down, a really up and down season. But over the last four games, looks like maybe he could be turning it around. Maybe Sadiq Bey's turning it around a little bit. We're going to talk about that when we come back. But first, I got to tell you guys about one of our sponsors, BetOnline.net. BetOnline.net is your number one source for sports betting info, stats, news, and analysis. Get the latest odds and trends for every professional and amateur league out there. From pro football to college bowl season to basketball to the NFL playoffs, Super Wildcard Weekend, which just ended actually going into the divisional round, all the way to the Super Bowl, they've got it all covered at BetOnline.net. If you love sports podcasts, you can even find those at BetOnline as well. We're always the fastest and easiest way to get your betting info. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about their trends and action today. And if you head over to BetOnline.net right now and you look at who has the best odds to win the NBA championship this year, well, the top five favorites, according to BetOnline.net, the Boston Celtics, the big favorites at plus 400, then the Milwaukee Bucks at plus 700, the Brooklyn Nets sneaking up to this after having a really good team last few months, despite them struggling this year, are still at plus 800, and the Denver Nuggets, who are popping onto the scene healthy this year, at plus 900, Jokic might win another MVP this year. That's the kind of stuff you can check out over at BetOnline.net. Who do you guys think is the best? Who should have the best odds to win the championship this year? Let me know that. You can find all that kind of stuff over at BetOnline.net. Head to the website or use your to learn more about their trends in action today. BetOnline, where the game starts. So I want to thank you guys again for making Lockdown Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. If you haven't already, head to the YouTube channel at Lockdown Pistons. Hit that subscribe button or leave us a 5-star review on whatever podcast platform you are listening to this on. That's another great way to support the podcast. So Sadiq Bey is shooting 40% on the year, 33% from deep. He's been very up and down, very inconsistent. And we'll give him credit for this. At the beginning of the year, for the first like 20 or so games, he was shooting under 29% from deep. Now he's made that, he's brought that up to 33% at this point. And some of that has to do with how he's played the last four games. And before we get into these last four games, I don't think this is a stretch to say that Sadiq Bey is probably the most, I think at this point, I think he's overtaken Killian Hayes as the most polarizing player on the Pistons, most polarizing young guy. He was a big fan favorite, and I've seen a little bit this year, a lot of fans are starting to come, you know, a little bit concerned and confused about what exactly is going on with Sadiq Bey? What exactly is Sadiq Bey? What player is he going to be? What's his archetype? What's he trying to be, etc.? All that kind of stuff. So, and there's, you know, there's big fans of Sadiq Bey who believe he's going to become this all-star. And then there's people who believe that, you know, who knows what he's going to be. Nonetheless, the last four games is a big boost to those who believe Sadiq Bey is it going to be a big part of the future. And do not believe that the trade rumors that we've been seeing over the last month and a half are true, or simply believe the Pistons shouldn't even be considering trading Sadiq Bey. And over the last four games, Sadiq Bey is averaging 22.3 points, 6.5 rebounds, while shooting 43.1% from the field and 38.5% from deep, 93.5% from the free throw line, and get this, averaging 7.8 free throw attempts a game over that stretch as well. Really, really, really good basketball. High-level efficiency basketball, three-level scoring. This was Sadiq Bey at his best. Absolutely at his best. He's played really well over the last four games. And this is the Sadiq Bey they need. This is the Sadiq Bey that the Pistons fans want to see. This is the Sadiq Bey that the front office wants to see, the coaching staff, his teammates, ownership, everyone. This is what everyone wants to see from Sadiq Bey. Just the problem so far in his career and so far over the last 2 years is that it's very inconsistent. You'll get these four games and then another six games where he struggles, and he'll pop back with an eight-game stretch of playing well, then another nine-game stretch of struggle. Like, it's just, he's been just a roller coaster over the last 2 years. So the hope is that he's taken these four games, and really, since the beginning of December, he shot the ball better. Now, his play's been still a little bit up and down, but if you're just concerned about his outside shooting, since the beginning of December, over the last 24 games, he's shooting 38% from deep, 5.3 attempts. So it's kind of like a little bit last year, where the first like 20 or something games, he was shooting like 28% from deep, and then after that, he shot like 37%. It's kind of a little bit this year. The first 19 games, he was shooting around 27%, and now over the last 24 games, he's shooting 38%. So maybe he's just a late bloomer when it comes to outside shooting on the year. I don't know. It's really weird that that's happened now two straight years, but maybe that's just what happens. So the outside shot, my point is the outside shot has been coming around since the beginning of December. It really has been consistent, more consistent the last 24 games where you'd like to see it, around 38%. So he's coming around with that. The problem is over the last 24 games, all the other stuff started to fall down a little bit. He's at 39% from the field overall and 81% from the free throw line. However, the last four games, that's what you want to see when you got the three-point shooting. You got the driving ability. You got the ability to draw free throws. You got the improved finishing. You got the guy who's more physical on the glass, trying to help you out on the glass more, who's averaging 6.5 rebounds for the last four games. That's big for a team that's been missing a lot of their front court. He's getting out there. He's getting physical on the glass. I like what I've seen from that end. This is the well-rounded, this is the complete Sadiq Bey that everyone wants to see. And if he can continue to play like this, and look, it's a very small sample size. You guys know, if you guys have been listening to the podcast for a while, you guys know that I'm a big sample size guy. It's a small sample size. But we've seen him improve at finishing. We've seen him improve at drawing fouls. We've seen him improve from the free throw line. And over the last 24 games, despite some of that other stuff falling off a little bit now over the last 24 games, we've seen him return as a good three-point shooter over the last 24 games. And now over the last four games, we've seen him put all of that together and been able to use all three of it, shooting, finishing, free throw drawing, all that stuff. We've seen him be able to do all of it together over the last four games. And if you can be that, that's a legit player. That's a legit player. Now, the defensive stuff is still a little bit worrisome, especially at that position on the wing. But you deal with that if you have a player who is drawing fouls and getting to the free throw line, hitting 92% from the free throw line. You deal with that if he's a guy who's shooting high volume threes at 38%. You deal with that if that's a guy who can get to the rim and not only draw free throws, but has improved as a finisher around the rim as well. You deal with that stuff, especially as a younger player. I know Sadiq's an older version of the younger core. He's like 23, 24 right now, a little bit older than everybody. But still, that you take that with that young player. So Look, I'd love to see this from Sadiq Bey, man. This is going to be a big few weeks. Because whether fans like it or not, whether I like it or not, or anyone likes it or not, his name has been included in trade rumors. We've heard his name involved in trade talks the last month and a half. Trade deadline's beginning of February. He got about 3 weeks. I think if he plays like this over the next 3 weeks, there's zero possible way the Pistons trade him. And they shouldn't. If he actually has turned his season around, the last four games is an indicator of what he's going to do the rest of the year. And maybe he's turned the corner over the last four games. Maybe something clicked and he's turned that corner to put it all together. You don't get rid of that player. You keep him. No way they trade him. Over the next 3 weeks, we see that roller coaster come back. Now he just goes back and he plays, you know, very inconsistent, doesn't play well, and then comes back up and then goes back down. If that kind of stuff starts to happen over the next 3 weeks, I don't think it's a likely chance. I still think the chance of him being traded is less than 50%, but that chance is out there still. And he could be traded based off the trade rumors we've heard. So I think this is a big 3 weeks for him up to the deadline. I really would like to see Sadiq play this way and play well and put this all together, because that's a fun player to watch. It is. It's a fun offensive player to watch, even with all his deficiencies defensively. A guy who can get to the rim, draw free throws, finish, shoot outside shots, catch and shoot, space the floor, shoot 93% from the free throw line on 7.8 attempts. That's just mind-blowing, by the way. The fact that he's drawing free throws like that and shooting that high from the free throw line, that's crazy. That's crazy stuff. But that's a fun player to watch. I've had fun watching him over the last four games. So I hope he's actually turned a corner. I hope something's clicked and he continues to play like this, not only in Paris, but over the next few weeks. So the whole trade rumor stuff is completely dead. Completely dead. And we don't even have to talk about possibly the Pistons trading him ever again. I'd love for that to be the case, and I've loved what I've seen from him over the last four games. So let me know what you guys think about that. Do you guys think Sadiq Bey has just turned a corner? Do you think this is just another high in his roller coaster of play? Let me know what you guys think about that in the comment section down below or over on Twitter at Kuka Hill. That's all I've got for you guys today, though. I'll see you guys next time on the next podcast. We're going to be doing a crossover episode with the Chicago Bulls Locked On podcast. We're going to preview the Paris game. That's going to be fun. We also have another guest coming on at the end of the week too, Jack Kelly, a contributor for the Detroit Bad Boys. Does a lot of work in the Pistons community. Highly respected. I really respect him. He does a lot of good stuff. We're going to get him on here. A fan from Australia, I believe. So I really like Jack, and I respect his stuff. So he's going to be coming on the podcast at the end of the week. We also got some guys coming on next week from other markets to talk with us about Bojan trades. So stay tuned for all that. We got some interesting stuff coming up with the podcast. But until next time, subscribe to the YouTube channel. 5-star review on whatever podcast platforms. I'll see you guys next time. Stay safe. Go Pistons. And peace out.